When you think about this picture, when you look at this picture, you see it's a jail cell. Someone committed a crime. Someone did something that they shouldn't be doing. Someone that was once on the outside is now on the inside. And you look at it and you say, I bet you this person wants to be free. Now he's confined to this jail cell, can't go anywhere, can barely look out that little window. This is a different situation. This is a jail in a different country. They don't even get a whole cell. They get a little box that they live in, and they live in that for most of the day. They get out sometimes to go here and go there within the jail, but they're still locked up. And even though their situation is different, they still want their freedom. The first picture that you saw was somebody confined in a cell. These people are confined in a box. And listen to me. I can bet you they want their freedom. But freedom is not something that may always be confined to a jail cell. Freedom is not something that always is confined to a box or a confined space. Freedom is something that's way bigger than that. Freedom can be a state of mind. Freedom can be a state of being. Freedom can be so much bigger than being confined to a space. I've learned that the hard way sometimes, and I realize the benefits of that in being in Christ Jesus. You know, I was in the Navy. I would hear on base all the time. Now, mind you, we weren't confined to a box. We weren't even confined to a base, as you would think. A lot of folks think, oh, you're in the military. You can't even leave the base. That's not true. It may be true for like the first couple of weeks until they make sure that you're not an idiot. You're going to go do something crazy. But after that, you're completely free to go where you want to go. And I hear people say all the time, I just want to be free from the military. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of somebody always having that watch on me. What about abusive relationships? Have you heard that before? Somebody said, I want to be free from that. I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. And somebody saying, well, why don't you just leave that relationship? Why don't you just go and do something else? It's not always that easy when you're not free. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about what it means to be free, what Jesus the Christ meant when he says, I'll make you free. He wasn't talking about just one particular thing. He is the source of all freedom. He's the source of all truth. We'll talk about that today. John 8, 31 to 32. Biblical examples of freedom come in a lot of ways. You won't see biblical examples of freedom in just one way, like we talked about being confined to a space. Biblical examples of freedom go all over the spectrum. One example of freedom is for the oppressed. You'll find in Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the sight to the blind, to set free to those who are oppressed. This is a quote from Isaiah and Daniel, but still, nonetheless, this lets you know that freedom is not confined to a space, is not confined to one thing. He's saying, I'm here to set free those who are oppressed. And if you think about that, back then and even now, people who are going through things, people who are held down by the thumb, Jesus Christ says, I'll set you free from all of that. You don't have to worry about that any longer. Being free, living in unfair poverty, and I'll say that, unfair poverty, meaning that there is nothing you can do to get out of it. You can work as hard as you want to work. You can do as much as you want to do, and you're still going to be in this state, and there are people like that in the world. Unfair poverty is not a forever state as long as you have Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is a state that can make you escape from all of that. Unfair poverty is not going to go on forever, and that's a wonderful thing if we can just gain Christ Jesus. What I mean by that is a good example of this, if you talk about Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Could you imagine being there sitting at the feet of Jesus and you are unfairly being held down? You're not going to have all the things that you want. You don't even have all the things that you need. And then Jesus makes this statement, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about these things anymore. To us, that may not be a big deal, but to somebody who doesn't have anything, that's a huge deal. That's a huge thing to hear from Jesus the Christ to say, if you just seek me, God is going to take care of all of these things. It's a wonderful thing to hear if you think about it in that perspective. These people don't have the necessities, and Jesus says, all you have to do is follow me, and we'll take care of those things. It's a big deal. In Luke 16, there's this Jesus explains about the rich man and the poor man. The poor man is sitting outside of the gate. He's so poor that he's licking his wounds. The dogs will lick his wounds. He's so poor that he doesn't have anything. He's literally on the ground outside of the gate of the rich man. This was a state that he was in. He probably just felt like this is just so depressing. It's going to be like this forever. How am I going to ever get to a point where I could be rich? How am I ever going to be to a point where I'm not in this state? How am I ever going to be to a point where I'm not sitting on the ground, sleeping outside, and watching all the richness going on of this man on the inside? But then this passage says that they both die. And while the rich man is sitting there being tormented, the poor man who was sitting outside licking his wounds is being comforted. And you'll see here in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." This is the rich man talking. "And send Lazarus, the poor man, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The whole situation is flipped upside down. Now this poor man has the water and this rich man has nothing. This rich man didn't have any water to cool his tongue. This rich man is in a state that he is absolutely poor. The situation has changed all because this man had the right heart for Jesus. This state of being poor, this state of all of that, Jesus has set us free from that. Jesus has set mankind free from that. What a valuable thing that is. Now we sit in this comfortable state. We sitting here in our nice suits and our nice shirts and this nice conditioned space, this nice everything that we have, that may not be that big of a deal to us. But let me tell you something. I know brothers and sisters in Christ that are around the world who are having worship service in a tent this morning with a clay floor. Let me tell you something. That is of value to those folks. I see pictures all the time. I knew elders from different congregations who would go to these different countries, and they would be worshiping and sending back pictures, and these folks would have absolutely nothing but the truth. And they were free from all of that because Jesus set them free. That is not a forever state to be in our condition, our social status on this earth. That is something that Jesus has set us free from. Amen? Free from the law. Me and my wife were just talking about this. There's a buddy of mine talking about the Navy who was, and this is going to sound absolutely ridiculous. I didn't come up with it, so don't associate this with me. But they're called the Black Hebrew Israelites. There are folks who are standing on the corner screaming. You know, I've seen them recently at Wingstop. Everything's associated with food. But anyway, I've seen them on the corner right there by Wingstop. And they had, you know, a bunch of folks out there, and they are screaming at the top of their lungs. And their belief is that, number one, we should all be back in the law. Number two, that nobody white is going to be saved. It's crazy, isn't it? Doesn't make a lick of sense. But that's what they believe, that we should be bound to the law, we should still be living in the law, and nobody white is going to be saved. They're called the Black Hebrew Israelites, and I know somebody who believes in this to the death. Doesn't make a lick of sense. You can't find any of it here. Well, I got news for you. Jesus Christ set us free from the law. Jesus Christ says we're not bound to the law anymore. The law had a purpose. The law had a whole bunch of things that it did, but it is not to us today. Amen? So for folks who are out there believing in that or who want to be bound by the law, that's fine. We're going to talk about that for just a second. Colossians 2:16 and 17 says, "So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding the festival or new moon or Sabbath, with or a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." The law was a lot of those things. The law was just a shadow, just something that's going to always point to Christ. I've heard Chad say all the time, the law, every time you look at it, just points to Christ. That's exactly what the law did. It just pointed to Christ. When you went and looked at all the things that these folks were doing, all the many wonderful things, even you look at the tabernacle itself, a lot of those things just pointed to Christ Jesus. So for somebody to go back and to say, "I want to be of the law and I want to be bound to the law," well, where are you getting that from? What is that? Where is that coming from except for out of your mind that you just plucked out of thin air and said, "This is what I want to do. It sounds great. And I'm going to save my own soul because of it"? What sense does that make, church? The truth of the matter is Christ Jesus set us free from that. Galatians 3:24, "Therefore the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith." If this doesn't say it, what else does? The law was a tutor to bring us, to make us appreciate, to understand, to really grasp who Christ Jesus is and all the things that he can do for us. The law was not here just to be there forever. The law had its purpose and it did its job. Now we have something that's way better, and that's Christ Jesus. We are freed from the law. What a wonderful thing that is, to be free from the law. I'm telling you, we don't want to go back and live in the law. We don't want to do that. I don't have any bulls or anything like that. I don't want to be making sacrifices. I don't want to be doing any of those things. I want to just be thankful that I can live by faith in Christ Jesus. So much better than going back to the law. And when people say that, the essence of it, the big point of it is, they lack understanding. For somebody to say, I want to go back to the law, that lets you know right out of the gate that there is a lack of biblical understanding in the way God works. If somebody says, I want to go back to living the law and the law is still applicable to me, that lets me know they don't understand covenant. That lets me know that they don't understand Jesus the Christ. That lets me know that they don't understand the difference between the testaments. They don't understand any of those things. They're just saying or regurgitating what somebody has said to them. That lets me know that they just don't understand. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 5, 1 and 6, Paul is saying to them, if you want to receive circumcision because you're upon the law, Christ is no benefit to you. Paul says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That meant that he was pure. He was just as Jew as you could be. And all those things were back then. And here you see in Galatians 5, if you want to do that, if you want to be justified by the law, Christ is going to do nothing for you. How many more examples in the Bible do we need to know that Christ set us free from the law? We're not there anymore. We don't have the handcuffs of the law in us on us anymore. But so many folks believe it. And church, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are free from that. And we should be thankful to Christ Jesus for every bit of our freedom that we have from the law. This is something that I'm sure a lot of us would probably say. If somebody's going to say we're set free from something, Brother Buck is going to preach about sin. Well, yes, we are set free from sin. And it's a big deal. I could have put free from sin, free from ourselves, free from tradition. All of those things would have went in there. And we'll talk about a little bit of those later. But free from sin is a really, really big deal. We want to be free from sin. We don't have to have any more allegiance to sin. Does that mean that we're going to lead a perfect life? Nope. Absolutely not. We're not going to lead a perfect life. I mess up all the time. My wife tells me I mess up all the time. And I do. We're not perfect people. We're not going to be here just walking around, you know, with white robes on, singing hymns all day. That's just not realistic. That's not who we are. We're going to sin. If we weren't going to sin from time to time, why would there be a need for Christ Jesus to come and sacrifice himself for us? We're going to sin. But the difference is, to have allegiance to sin, to have sin holding you back, to have sin driving the train, to have sin doing all those things is something that we are freed from. You know, we now bow before God. We're now slaves to him, as it says in Galatians 6:22. We're not slaves to sin anymore. You know, being a slave to something means that you wake up in the morning and you do what that being or that thing tells you to do. Now we should wake up in the morning with our mind focused on God, saying, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. It's a big difference between being a slave to sin and a slave to God. You want to know the key to all this? The key to all of freedom? The key to all of the things that Christ was saying? The key to our spiritual being? The key to all of it is what Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, and that is the truth. The truth is like the keys to loosen the handcuffs of whatever is holding us back. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As we can see, as we've shown in examples, is freedom is not something that's just limited. I don't want us to think for a second that freedom is something that we could just draw right here in this narrow lane. Freedom can fill up this whole room of circumstances because Jesus Christ and his word is that powerful. We don't have to worry about it falling into this bucket or that bucket. It can adapt to do whatever it needs to do. Just a picture of raging water. Some strong water, some water I'd never get in. Been whitewater rafting before and it wasn't fun. But raging water is powerful, isn't it? They say that only just like that much water can knock you off your feet, and a little bit more than that can sweep a car off the road. That's how powerful water is. But it pales in comparison to the power of the word and of the truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the power of salvation to those who believe, Paul says. And that's a really big deal. The truth doesn't change. Talk about this truth that can set you free. You can wake up today and say, this truth sets me free today, and it's going to set me free next week, and it's going to set me free next year. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6. But then in Hebrews 13:8, you'll see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This means that word is not changing. He's not just going to flip it on you and say, well, what makes you free today is not going to make you free tomorrow. That's a valuable thing. Don't we live in a world where everything is constantly changing? This should be very valuable to us. This should be something that's just we can hold on to, because every time I turn around, things that were the way they were yesterday are not the way they are today. Things are just changing all over the place. Definitions are changing. Society is changing. We were talking about in Bible classes, one of the law for you may not be the law for somebody else. Somebody may get to do this and they go to jail for it, and you do the same thing and you don't, or it could be swapped. We live in a society where things are constantly changing. The only thing that I know that's not going to change is Jesus Christ. It says so here in Hebrews 13 that he is the same yesterday, today as he will be tomorrow. We should be happy about that, especially if our freedom is based off of the truth, which he is. That is something that should be just make us want to jump through the roof. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls. The truth, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. This lets you know that the truth is not in the box. Because if all of us come from all of our walks of life, I come from the South, and some of you come from other places that aren't the South, and some of you, you know, come from all different walks of life. And all of us, what that unites us is the truth. The truth got all of us in this room to say we're going to worship God in spirit and truth. Now, if you think about it, this truth has to be able to make to adapt to everything that we need. Because what I needed was different than what you needed. What David needed was different than what somebody else needed. What, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. The truth is not just confined, and so many times we think it's all about sin, and the truth is that it's great, it does set us free from sin, but it sets us free from so much more. Whatever you need, have you thought about that? Have you thought about whatever you need, the truth can fix it? There's been so many times in life where I look at situations, and I've learned a lot through this through the past couple of years, but I'm sitting there thinking, like, why is this not working? Why is this not fitting right? It's because I can fix it with the truth. The truth can fix everything. Whatever your spiritual needs are, whatever my spiritual needs are, the truth can fix it. It'll set you free from whatever it is that's holding you back. Whatever problem you have. I mean, there are so many problems that we have, so many spiritual problems that we have sometimes where we're sitting back and we're trying to figure out what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this situation? Sister such and such made me mad. Brother such and such made me mad. The preacher got up there and said something and all this, or the elders this and blah, 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 and all this, the deacons. Let me tell you what'll fix all of that. The truth. The truth tells us what to do in every situation that we have as a Christian. All we have to do is go to it. So whatever is holding us back, whatever has us in handcuffs, that's not allowing us to do the things that we should be doing, all we have to do is turn to the truth. People talk about food, you know, deficiencies all the time, don't they? People say every time you go to the doctor, it's like, you need to eat more of this. You need to not eat so much of this. Cheetos aren't good for you. All this other kind of things. And they say that all the time, you know, and it's like, I get it. I understand. But you know what? What about spiritual deficiencies? Things that we need to be doing. You want to know what's going to expose that? The truth. And I know I'm saying a lot about it. I know it's probably like, man, Brother Buck is sitting up here talking about this. I know you've probably heard Chad say a lot about the truth and how the truth is so powerful. But when you really understand, when I really understood how powerful the truth is, it really has that powerful message. Like Paul was saying, it really can alter your life in ways that you'll never get until you really accept the truth for what it is. That's why we're told to walk in the truth, 2 John 1:4. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth as we receive the commandment from the Father. Walking in the truth sets us free from everything that we have going on. When I say everything, I mean everything. No matter what situation is, has us in handcuffs. I'm going to give you 3 examples here in a minute. But whatever, you know, ailment that you have, whatever situation is that has you in handcuffs, whatever the situation, whatever the problem, whatever anything, the truth is the solution. We can all be free from it through the power of Christ Jesus. If we read His word, understand His word, digest His word, and all of those things, we can truly be set free from whatever we have. How should a free people behave? That's a really good question to ask. If we're free, and the Word makes us free, we come here on Wednesday nights and we listen to the Word. Come here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and we listen to the Word. And we're freed because of this truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All of these things. If that's the case, how should we behave? How should we look? What should be the characteristics of a free people? First, when it comes to this, a free people should be free from all forms of captivity. Every one of them. Not just the ones that we're thinking about. Not just the popular ones that we're talking about, like we said with sin and with other things. A free people should be free from all forms of captivity. And there are a lot of forms of captivity that can hold Christians from giving God the glory and honor that should be. I'll give you one example here. This is a family reunion. I grew up in a part of the country in the South where family was held way up here. I believe to this day that my own dad won't obey the gospel because of family. Family is one of those things that where I grew up, family was like, you do not offend your family. If you have to choose between your family and obeying the gospel, you choose your family. And so for a long time, I was held captive for that. All the time, there would be things I wanted to do. When I first came out of the water, it's like, we need to go do this with the brethren. No, I got to go to Georgia because I got to go be with my family. Well, we need to be going to this, you know, 4th of July thing that's going on at the church and go be with the brethren. No. I need to drive 15 hours so I can go be back with my family in Georgia. You want to know what was happening to me? I was held captive by my family, and I didn't even realize it. Everything that they said to do, I was going to do it. Instead of it being flipped the other way around. Everything that Christ Jesus says to do, I would do that. That's what I should have been doing. But everything my family said to do, go do it. Church, I'm telling you, you're free from your family. I'm free from my family. We need to be following Jesus. We need to be doing everything that Jesus wants us to do. We need to be doing everything that He told us to do. Should we have a healthy relationship with our families? Absolutely. I'm talking about allegiance. I'm talking about a situation that puts us where we are doing something for our family rather than doing it for Christ. When we're making that decision, I'm going to go be with them instead of being with Christ. That's a completely different scenario than having both of them and Christ Jesus being at the center. And I'm saying that we should be very careful of that because the truth will set us free from that. That's how free people should look. We shouldn't be running behind anybody or trying to make anybody happy except for Christ Jesus and the things that He told us to do. Amen? And I know it's been a struggle for me, especially with my family, because they are strong-willed. They make me feel bad. They talk about me. They do all those things. And finally, I just said, I am free from that. The only thing I'm going to do is obey God, and I get to go do that with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they're going to be mad because of that, so be it. I'm going to worship God. Another thing is our friends. This is another big one for me. using examples that are near and dear to me because I can talk about them with a little bit of knowledge when it comes down to how I behaved and how it made me feel. Another example is our friends. We live in a society today where friendship is everything, when the only true friend that we have is Jesus Christ himself. We live in a society where we're just supposed to do everything to make other folks happy. This is the crux of all of it. We live in a society where it's like, you know what? You can't make your friends mad. They want to go to a party. They want to go do all these things. This is a big deal for me, especially coming up out of the water. I had to really understand that Jesus set me free from those handcuffs that my friends had me in. Every time I turned around, I had friends that I had known since I was, 17, 18, of course, is working in the Navy. And every time I turned around, it was, let's go do that. Let's go do this. And let's go party here. Let's do that. And to the day I realized that I'm free from all of that, I was held captive by them. I hope sincerely that if anybody is held captive by their friends, thinking that they have to go do all that, that this message lets you know that you're free from that. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is obey Christ Jesus. If you say, if I got in the water, if you went through all that to get in the water and you're coming to worship and you're studying, you're doing all that, only to be held captive by something so small in the grand scheme of things, realize the power in this word. Follow him and he'll set you free. A job is another one. A job is something that I fell victim to. I was so wrapped up in it and realizing, I had it backwards. I thought that my job was a source of all happiness. I thought for a while that my job was a source of all everything and I should just, my job. Then I realized that it was God who gave me my job so that I could support my family and bring glory and honor to him. We have it backwards sometimes. We think that it's the job I need to have allegiance, that I need to be all just wrapped up in it. And the scriptures tell us over and over again, the only thing we need to be wrapped up in is Jesus. I've said it 100 times this lesson, and I hope I can say it 100 times more, that Jesus is the only thing and God is the only being that we should be held captive to. We should be slaves of him, not anything else. And our job is something that can always fall in the way. Realize this, and I'll say it again. It is God who supplied us our job so that we can bring glory and honor to him. Everything good comes from him, and we should thoroughly believe that. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not true. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that it's not true. It comes from him. God gave me a job so that I could support my family. God gave me a job so that I could be productive, just do all these things that I need to do for him. Maybe I should just skip over money, because money is one of those things too that falls into those other buckets. Because I'm not going to beat a dead horse on this, but to have allegiance to money is just... Jesus said in Matthew 19:23 that it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven anyway. It's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard. It's difficult. So why would we just be slaves to money? I need to go make all this money. That's just going to make our journey a little bit harder. I'm going to tell you the story about this guy, and I'm going to be done this morning. This man was wrongly convicted. He was convicted of a crime, spent about 22 years in jail for something that he didn't do. He was sentenced as a young man, had a family, wrong place, wrong time, literally did nothing wrong, and was sentenced to life in prison. So he was doing that life sentence, just wondering, like, when am I ever going to be free from this? Am I ever going to be let go from this jail cell? One day a lawyer picked up the case, gave it a fresh perspective, and said, you know what? I believe this guy really is innocent. They went back to trial, and they found that with the new DNA evidence, in fact, this guy was innocent. He had nothing to do with it, and they set him free. And him, standing on the steps of the courthouse, says, I value freedom more than most Americans because of what I've been through. Now look at us. See, this man realized that he was held captive for something that he didn't do. And they let him out. Us as Christians realize we were held captive by things we did on our own, and we should still be held captive if we went off what we deserve to have to us. But Jesus Christ comes along and says, you know what, even though your actions, even though you're going to be sinful sometimes, and that is going to put you in a place that you don't want to be, even though that's the case, I'm still going to love you, and I'm still going to give you an opportunity to be with me. If that doesn't make you want to say, praise Jesus, I don't know what does. Because all of us, at a certain point, had our allegiance to sin. And Christ Jesus comes along and changes all of that. Just like this man, we should be fighting for our freedom. We should not want to go backwards into a place that's going to make us be held by something that we were long let go. We should not just be saying, oh, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal to go do these things. No, we should be fighting for our freedom every day. We should be saying, there's no way I'm going to let myself go back to being locked up by whatever it was. There's no way I'm going to do that to myself. Whatever it is, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to study God's word and find the truth and get out of this because I can be free. There is no way I'm going back. If that man got on those steps and somebody said, well, hey, you know, if you put yourself in this situation, you could go back to jail. He would say, there's no way I'm going back. No way. I'm going to stay clear. We should be looking to Jesus as the one way to get there, to our freedom, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Do we value our freedom? We should love our freedom. We're free people. We're not people that should be held by anything. We should be people that are absolutely free and realize that Jesus the Christ is the source of every bit of it. So if it's family, it's friends, it's job, it's money, it's circumstances, it's social status, it's whatever, let go of all that and turn to Jesus. Being free is a divine privilege. Not everybody gets to be free. People think they're free just for a short time, but then everybody will realize on that day that, you know what, I wasn't free after all. That's a divine privilege that we have as Christians to be free. We should value that. And the last thing I'll say to this is, and I want this to stick with you, whatever the problem, whatever the issue, whatever the handcuffs that you're in, whatever those things, the things that you just sometimes feel like the room is closing in on you and there's no way to turn, that I got to go do this for this reason and I got to go do that for that reason. My last message I'll say to you is we are free from everything, but we are slaves to God. Amen? I know I've said a lot today about being free. Very simple message, I'll give you that, but something that we should absolutely remember and value all the time is our spiritual freedom that we have through Christ Jesus. A people that realize that is a people that act accordingly. People that realize that they need to be free is the people that don't look back. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, and you're sitting there saying, well, I want to know more about this freedom thing. I want to be free. And I want to be held in handcuffs and that I don't even see. Then today is the day. The day may not be for you to get in the water if you don't understand that yet, but you can talk to somebody about it. We can guide you down that road. We can show you what the Bible has to say about your freedom. And if you're a Christian here today and things have been holding you back from what you should be doing, what we should be doing collectively as a group, if there's something that has handcuffs behind your back, you can't move, you feel like everything is tightening up on you, that's fine. Ask for the prayers of the church. You can come forth and we can help you out with the prayers because we all know, because this truth says so. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.